The character planted in the audience that you'd never expect to be on the payroll. And when she plays her big scene, she creates more heat than you could ever imagine. Now here's the secret. She's a stunt granny.
Welcome back to another edition of Stunt Granny Audio. We are at number, I think it's Who Gives a Shit. And I am here not giving a shit with Mr. Dusty Giebing. How you doing, Dusty?
Is it still Who Gives a Shit? It's been Who Gives a Shit for about 10 weeks now, so we're staying consistent.
Even though I'm on them, I still don't even keep track of the count.
It's one of those things where I only think about it when I'm downloading it, you know?
Oh, gotcha.
You know, when the number's, like, right in front of me, then it's like, oh, we're on 190, you know? And then after that, I listen to the audio or whatever, and I never think about it again. So, but anyway.
Well, at least you're like everybody else here. And it did make me think of inserting the dummy post in here right away.
Sure. Well, while you're doing that, I will fill time by yakking about what we were yakking about off the air, which is Ivory.
Yes.
On one of the message boards I go to, somebody posted a video. Ivory lives in, like, Podunk, New Jersey now or something, and she's a furry because there's this, like, convention thing. I'm sorry I'm not being more specific, but I watched the video one time, and all I got out of it was, Ivory is a fucking furry. And then, you know, I burned my eyes and had to get replacement eyes and all that shit.
Yeah, so well, that's a very important point to remember.
Right. But she came to this convention or whatever, dressed like an animal, you know. And they interviewed her because 50 million years ago she was a famous WWE wrestler. And, like, she's talking about, I love animals and blah, 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 and basically just admitted she's a furry. So, that led you to bring up that you got your Mitchell Cool name from her.
Yeah, it was, and I can't remember, was it, like, WrestleMania 15, maybe? Or am I, maybe it's...
I want to say 15 or 16. Somewhere in there.
Yeah, but they had that all-day marathon of WrestleManias, and she was on something. I don't know what exactly, but she made Michael Cole her bitch. So we started calling him Mitchell Cool from that point forward.
Yeah.
So, because he looked so uncool, and he still looks so uncool.
He's the very definition of a lame guy, and every now and then he'll, like, change his style, and you know he's, like, desperately trying to keep up with the times by, like, you know, getting a new haircut or changing his facial hair structure, and it's all just a sad, desperate attempt from a losery guy who doesn't know what cool is, you know?
The frosted tips, always one of my favorites.
Yes.
That was certainly one of those desperate attempts, hands down.
Perfect example, because that's exactly what he would do. And still kind of does, you know?
At least he's letting the gray come in.
Right. And, you know, if you wanted to, you could use this as a transition, because by far the worst part about Monday Night Raw was the announcing, in my opinion.
Oh, and you know what? The worst part about that announcing, and is this part of our news that you can use?
Nice. Yes, the debut of the new name. Because top five at five makes no sense whatsoever, since we never do it at 5 o'clock and whatever. But news you can use. I like that.
Yeah, yeah, I'm good to go with that. I figured we could throw that down. But the worst part probably about the announcement was the fact that they gave us Jim Ross playing nice with, well, and Michael Cole playing nice right at the beginning of the broadcast, and you're like, oh, awesome. It's going to be a three-man booth all evening.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're not going to do the dumb arguing. And then they get rid of Jim Ross. And Michael Cole acts like a dick to him on the way out.
Of course.
It's like, okay, you've played it straight the whole time that he was out there.
Yeah, but as soon as he's on the way out, you got to get a little dig at him. Because he's a fucking insecure prick, you know? He knows in his heart of hearts that he'll never be half the announcer that Ross is. So there's professional jealousy there.
Yeah, and it just kind of ruins the whole segment, too. It's just like...
Yep.
Not only is it petty, it's just like, man, this is just a good segment, and you had to go and pee on it.
Exactly.
Just it's yeah, it's just unnerving.
Mhm. Yeah. I don't know where Michael Cole gets his sense of humor from his buddy Shawn Michaels, you know. So Michaels probably told him to say that.
Oh my gosh! And yeah, that is news that anybody could use, really. The fact that the cutesy DX.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. If you want to talk about going back to Mitchell Cool being unhip, having those guys do that act is so unhip.
It's sad now. There's no better way to put it than it's just sad.
Yeah. And
that they're doing it, what they're doing, the way they look, it's all just sad.
Yeah, especially since it's just like, and Triple H can't hold himself back, he goes, and especially since I'm the only one that still has my hairline, I'm just like,
right.
You're pointing out how non-topical this particular gimmick
is.
Yeah,
you're burying it. You know? God.
Yeah, it's just like, okay, if you guys really, I hope it really truly is, since they were hawking the shirt that said one last time.
Yeah.
I truly hope that for their sake, like, I'm fine with Hunter and Shawn Michaels doing skits together.
Sure.
You know, if there's something that needs to be done in the future, I'm good with that. But don't do the neon thing. Like, just be the regular people that they've been for their last two WrestleManias, actually.
Yes, right. No facade, no gimmick, just that, you know? Just do that.
Yeah, and those Shawn Michaels, oh, I'm out of breath.
Yeah, right.
It's just like, really?
Whoa! Where did you get that sense of humor? I knew you were funny, but that funny? Whoa! You're out of breath? That's the funniest fucking thing I've ever fucking said. Holy shit. I'm shitting and pissing myself, Kevin. That's so funny.
Wow. Well, I hope you were wearing your Depends.
Oh. Jesus.
Oh, man.
No, and if they want to use Sean Waltman ever in the future, they should wait until he gives birth before using him again. Because he looks, thank you, he looks like a woman in her third trimester who just can't kick the meth habit, you know? So, just can't quite say no, you know?
Yeah, well, I think he's saying no, but that's making him look about 20 years older than he really is.
Right, right. Sprinkling the crack on his cheeseburgers? What's happening here? That's what I
Well, at least if he is using crack, he might not be in his third trimester.
Right.
He'll have a little more energy to do stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, hey. Man.
They just, you know, the best-looking one was Billy Gunn. Billy Gunn looked great.
Yeah, and then I saw him talking about kicking kicking the habit, which is, good for him. And the fact that you're in that kind of shape after kicking the habit, all right.
Mm-hmm.
And he might have been the only one that didn't make a complete ass out of himself.
Right.
It helps to be able to be the silent partner in those proceedings.
Yeah, you kind of appear like above it all or something, even though you're still there. You know, I don't know. A little bit more Teflon. So.
Yep. Oh, man.
But he really does. He has that, like, Stan Lane Forever Young thing going on. So,
oh.
Kudos
yeah.
to him for it, because I'm going to look like shit when I'm his age, if I even make it to be that age.
Yeah, no, that is another good thing for him. Even though he has a little bit of cartoon face going on there.
Right, right.
He does look really young for, and I have no idea what his age is, and I'll have to check it out here.
I'm on it. You just keep talking. Keep yakking your pretty head off. I got it.
Well, outstanding. And I'm trying to think of what else was just completely terrible about that that opening segment. And you know, we didn't even really finish the thoughts on oh gosh.
48.
Oh, wow. Yeah, no, I would be quite happy if I looked that good in a decade plus.
Yeah, exactly.
It's kind of funny to me. The other part of that segment was Damian Sandow coming out to it.
Right.
And it kind of struck me as funny at how they make a show for the lowbrow audience, and how often they love to use the smart guy gimmick is a heel. I guess there's always something amusing to me when you demonize education.
Right. Oh, absolutely. I think, though, that Vince McMahon knows his audience is what that comes down to. His audience isn't exactly fucking brain surgeons, Kevin. So.
Yes, this is a good point, and I think you're correct. But
yeah, it's a bunch of people you can find more pictures of at peopleofwalmart.com, you know? That's his audience.
Yeah. at least
people
are to
be laughed at and shunned and beat up, basically. They are not cool. You're only cool if you have a juvenile sense of humor and make fart jokes, you know? So, there you go.
Wow. They definitely had those juvenile jokes going on. And they those jokes continued throughout the night. But was there anything in particular with the announcing? I mean, aside from it, you know, starting at the peak and then going downhill.
Look, I mean, it's just... I can't point to a specific example off the top of my head. I just thought it was weak all night. I just, you know, it was, like, glaringly bad. And I think if I ever watch full episodes again, I might just watch on mute, you know? Or, like, have something else going, like, have, like, Stern going in the background or something. You know, something like that, because I can't stand it anymore. Cole and Lawler are just terrible.
Yeah, no, Lawler's been mailing it in since Jim Ross hasn't been on the show.
Absolutely.
And
it's really unprofessional, and I don't see how he doesn't lose his job over it. How is it okay to do that?
Yeah, and the over-laughing at everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And especially the stuff that he shouldn't really be laughing at.
No, and insisting, I'm having a really good time, or this is really funny right now, you know, just sledgehammer a plot over the head of the audience, because, again, the audience is stupid and can't think for themselves. So they need Jerry Lawler to point out when they should laugh. Just ridiculous.
Oh, man. And I'm just, just the more sophomore humor, I'm just looking at the Trish Stratus segment.
How good did she look?
Oh, man, yeah. No, I, when they put in the new yoga studio, at my gym, I might have to start going.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm going to say about her appearance. that was a nice appearance.
Yeah.
And what's her name? Amy Dumas, Miss Lita, was not looking so bad for herself either.
I'll have to excuse myself from this one. I was never a big fan of hers. You can go ahead, Kevin.
Yeah, and you know what? That was the funny thing. I'm like, just as I was spitting out of the face and I heard an I was like, oh, shit, that's right.
I'll tell you what, though. She looks better than she has, though. I'll give you that.
Wrestling
chicks are aging like, you know, fucking gangbusters. It's nice.
It's
like the anti Missy Hyatt, you know.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, no, that could work. And I'm trying to think of that's the one thing that deprives us of more Trish Stratus is tough enough not coming back.
Yeah. Mhm.
But oh well.
Yeah.
Let's see. Well, and I don't know if do we really want to touch on the big swamp of old stars there beating up Heath Slater?
Yeah.
I don't know. Was it good to see JBL since Eric has a newly minted picture with him?
Yeah, that was great. I always liked JBL. I popped big for the APA reunion. And Piper I was always a fan of, and Sid is God, so as a one-time thing, I got no problem with that, you know?
Yeah, and I think I may have told this story before, but I always, we loved the APA so much. My buddy Ken and I, when he was still my roommate, my brother was throwing a keg party, so we made KPA shirts, the Keg Protection Agency.
Nice. Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, that's how much we liked that one back in the day. So,
okay.
I'll go with that. So, yeah, no, that was a fun little segment and a good way to fit a female in there and a bunch of other stars all at once.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's fine. Rikishi, got to mention him. That was fun, you know.
Yeah, Piper, the kids love the dancing still.
So, yeah, no, that was fine. And again, Heath Slater. It's good to be Heath Slater because, you know, buried or not, he's featured every week on Raw. So, he gets the last laugh.
Well, I keep on saying to my girlfriend's like, he is so annoying. And I'm like, but that's the point.
Yeah, that means he's doing his job right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm like, you are supposed to be annoyed. Like, that is his job. So, yes, he's doing a great job.
Exactly.
Oh, man. So, yeah, I mean, good for him. Eventually he might get something out of it. Hopefully he gets, like, an intercontinental run at some juncture.
You know, some kind of secondary belt run that's kind of like Mikey Whipwreck's old run where he gets his ass kicked and he manages to keep the belt for a while anyway, you know?
Oh,
there could
right.
be some sort of potential with that. You know, he's never going to be a main event guy, but he could lead somewhere good for him, so...
Yeah, no, I could definitely see him as one of those guys that just ends up hanging in there.
Exactly.
And you're like, why does he still have a job? You know, he's going to be like the new Scotty Too Hottie.
Yes, that's exactly the name I thought of. Like, you hated Scotty Too Hottie, but who gives a shit because he kept making money, you know? He got the last laugh, so...
Yes, he does. He collected a paycheck for quite some time. I kept thinking, how's he still getting a paycheck? I can see Heath Slater at some point. Like, right now, I'm like, oh, he's a nuisance. I like him.
Yeah.
5-10 years down the road, I'll be going, why the fuck is he still collecting a paycheck?
Oh, 10 years from now, you don't want me to be in the same state as Heath Slater. I'm going to fucking murder him, you know? But...
Oh, man.
For now, it's admiration at a distance. So.
Oh, man. Well, I guess one other, a couple other stars returned there at the WWE Raw. And I guess since we already talked about Triple H once, we may as well get him out of the way altogether.
Yeah.
What did you think about his, hey, let's, stop and become serious after all my joking, segment?
Right. it's like Sly Stallone's character in Over the Top, you know, as soon as you turn the hat around, there's like a switch, you know, so Triple H just hit the switch and now he's serious, you know? I think he thinks he's showing depth in his character, that he can do both roles or something. I don't fucking know. But he tells himself something in order to sleep at night, you know, about how Blade.
Yeah. No, there's a reason that even Blade 2 only gave him like 3 lines in the whole movie.
Hmm.
He was terrible.
Yes.
And yeah, I don't know. Did you like the inclusion in Steph on the in the whole angle here?
No, I never liked Steph in any angle.
Oh well, that is not a hate that I do remember.
Well, no, it's just a general I'm a McMahon, so I be on TV kind of thing. You know, it just from that perspective. You know what I'm saying? It's just
gotcha.
Clogging the airwaves unnecessarily. You know, and they do it just to counter Heyman, but really, I think they're kind of castrating Heyman. So, but they did kind of bury a lot of people on this show, didn't they? Including Sandow, that we talked about earlier.
I mean, that's all they had time for in the whole show, really, was just like, hey, we're, because if you didn't get buried, it was because you ended up in a match that was important enough to have a DQ ending.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Man. Because, who, oh my gosh, Jack Swagger.
Yeah, buried.
Like, I was joking that his hole was bigger than 6 foot last week. And, I don't know if he hasn't entered bottomless pit territory at this juncture.
Right.
I'm trying to think. That was almost kind of weird. I don't think it was a burial, but Christian losing to The Miz in some fairly short order.
Right, and when does The Miz ever get TV wins of any significance? This is just the very definition of an out-of-nowhere upset, you know?
No, I was so lost. Like, I'm like, I looked down for a second at my computer and looked up and I'm like, what, really? He just hit the skull crushing finale? Like,
right.
I didn't think there was any chance in hell that he was going to hit it, so I looked away.
Sure. You don't expect Miz to ever win, and this is just the overall theme of the show for me was bad booking. And this is a classic example of bad booking. If there was some way they could have Miz go on a losing streak but still hint at getting him a title, there's ways to do that. Have him get into Christian's situation. Maybe beat him in a tag team match or something. Oh, wow. You know, the losing streak's over. Now we got a legitimate shot. Some kind of booking to get him in the picture, but instead they just sort of plopped him in there and he won out of nowhere. And they don't even realize that they've booked him to look like shit, and now no one buys him as a champion. So it's not going to draw any money.
Yeah, and just when they, of all things, when they had finally gotten things back on track, like Christian was keeping the IC title on TV.
Mm-hmm.
He's good on the mic, and he's basically in the right spot.
Yeah.
So it's like, what, huh? Like, don't you at least wait until the next pay-per-view?
Right.
To have this title change?
Yeah, some instance where you can make some money off of it.
Yeah, and I mean, I would have been fine with seeing a 10-minute, or, you know, like a 5 to 10-minute match between the two of those guys. Like,
absolutely.
I mean, oh, well, and shit, even have it happen at SummerSlam so he can talk about being a big star in Los Angeles.
There
shit,
you go.
I know that I'm booking way too far in advance for them.
Does not compute. Right.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's I don't get it a lot of times.
Lots of people joke about how WCW-ish, WWE is becoming. But this is the best example right here because it's clear. It's crystal clear that they're just booking week to week. And really, they're booking day to day, you know? Like, you feel like that Raw was slapped together that day with some of the things they came up with.
Well, and the other thing that was hysterical to me was that just really killed the show was the Charlie Sheen stuff, which was a little more news that we could use. Like, he was supposed to be the host.
Right.
And they didn't back off of it the week before.
Right.
And then he just shows up on, hey, we need to pimp another product. Let's use Skype.
Yeah. Right. How much blatant advertising and shilling, you know?
Yeah, it was just like, oh my gosh. And that was just a part of the overall theme. It's like, we're celebrating not wrestling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, they weren't even really celebrating, like, wrestling angles.
Right.
They were just celebrating
stuff.
Commercials and
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
And that's why they're, and that's why they're booking day to day.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's clear that the people booking right now don't have a solid understanding of what works in wrestling. I was having this conversation with somebody earlier today, shout out, and you know who you are. And we were talking about how the writers are just kind of marks for themselves and they're marks for doing stuff, you know? Like, a couple of the guys on the booking team got themselves on TV, you know. That fucking fat lop of shit Big Dick Johnson got himself on TV, you know. Runjin Sin got himself on TV, you know. They're just kind of, these guys are just padding their resume, you know, and looking for stuff to put on their sizzle reel so they can sell it to TV shows and go on to their next gig. They don't understand what really works in wrestling. So they don't celebrate wrestling. They celebrate just stuff happening, you know?
Yeah. it's painful. It really is.
Yeah.
There was something. Oh, I need to tout it.
Yeah, tout. That's the new thing.
And, yeah, shit. There was something else that was connected to that, and I was looking for it on .net, and I completely... Oh, that's what it was. Because it was Stephanie McMahon saying that the social media keeps them distracted from changing channels.
Oh, I see. Yeah, that makes sense.
And, you know what? In some ways, it does keep me from distracted from changing the channel.
Mm-hmm.
If there's something really important on, I will definitely flip.
Sure.
But
tout about it?
No, I will not tout about it. Especially sending it into the WWE.
Yeah.
I am not that desperate to be on TV.
No?
No.
You're not going to tout something like John Cena makes me pee pee hard? And then we can show that on TV, you know, for all the world to fucking see.
John Cena, I chop your pee-pee.
I wish. I'd watch that. That'd be something I'd tune in for.
Oh, man.
I want to see that. I want to see John Cena versus Kai and Tai. Come on.
Oh, man, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
Anyway. Oh, shit, and I completely dropped the ball on that one. Because wasn't his line awesome?
What's that?
What's his name? Funaki.
Yeah, yeah.
Or no, it was Indeed, wasn't it?
Indeed, right.
Indeed. That's what I needed to end with. Ah, oh, fuck.
There you go.
Oh, man. Well, yeah. I guess we kind of got off of Charlie Sheen a little bit, but there is one more thing.
I mean, he wasn't on the show very much, you know? He went from being the host of the show to just being like a drive-by, you know? He appeared two, three times?
Yeah, I believe it's three times, and it's always awkward when Michael Cole tries to, again, act cool to,
yeah.
like, the
yeah.
The big Hollywood celebrity.
Right.
And it just comes off so poorly.
Not nearly as smooth as, say, and Eric will get this is for Eric, like Gorilla rubbing elbows with Steve Martin at WrestleMania 6, you know? Or Steve Allen, I'm sorry. So.
Hey, yeah, I certainly don't remember that. Know that I viewed it.
Yeah.
And was that the WrestleMania that Eric was watching this weekend and tweeting about?
No, that was 4.
Oh.
The one with the big tournament.
Oh, okay.
Which I got to say, Dino Bravo was screwed in that match because the referee patted him on the shoulder in the same way that you would pat somebody on the shoulder when you're awarding them the victory. So he had every reason to believe he had beaten Morocco there. Total bullshit. The referee screwed him. The rest of the tournament should have been thrown out at that point, and they should have given Bravo the title. So.
Yes,
unreal.
Dino Bravo was quite the man back in the day.
Yeah, well, he was the world's strongest man, so I don't know what I can tell you. He's the strongest man in the universe, but
someone, do you think Charlie Sheen will, do you think he'll actually wrestle against Daniel Bryan because of this whole little, that's the only thing that they seem to set up for him.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't see him wrestling. I mean, really.
Yeah. Do you see, like, some type of proxy match, or is Daniel
sure.
Bryan just going to fight for himself?
Sure, absolutely. I think that'll be the amount of it. Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's worth it?
No, not really.
I have seen previews for that anger management.
Yeah, how does that look? I've been meaning to watch it, and I just don't.
I can't even handle it, because I tape Wilfred and Louie before it.
Okay.
And so I get the commercials for it.
Sure.
And there is one that Denise Richards comes on, and she goes, my ex-husband can be a real ass to deal with. And you're like, am I really supposed to laugh at this? Like,
right.
did somebody, like, multiple somebody sat there and went, this is really funny.
Right.
And it's just painfully bad. It's just awful.
Where's the humor in that anyway? Who wants to be called an ass on TV? How is that appealing for anyone?
I don't know. It's just so I haven't even given the show itself a chance because
sure.
that is so terrible.
That
I can't even think of watching that. I mean, it's just like, oh my gosh, that just looks horrendous.
Like, you can't imagine a scenario where you're like, you're planning all day for it, and you go to Subway and you get a footlong tuna, and you're going to eat the tuna sandwich while you're watching the show, and you're going to have, your friends over and have a good time. Nothing like that. I just use that as an excuse to not mention tuna on the episode. I'm sorry. It was the most blatant fucking thing ever. Sorry.
Oh, man. Well, sometimes when you get some stinky tuna, that's what this episode of Raw might have smelled like if it actually had a scent.
Nice. Excellent.
I really Sheen better not wrestle, but he's so, and I haven't even seen the ratings for that show, and I don't really care. If I like a show, I like a show. If it ends up getting booted because the ratings sucked, well then they sucked.
Right.
So, it doesn't make it any worse of a show.
Mm-hmm. Fine.
So, but yeah, no, he is so, well, he doesn't seem like their demographic, which it makes it especially weird.
Yeah.
But they so desperately want the Hollywood tie-in that they're going to go with it anyway.
Yeah, just another attempt to get a tie-in, another attempt to do stuff, They always think that they're better than wrestling, and they're desperately trying to latch onto something other than wrestling. So, that's what this is.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, sorry, I was trying to figure out how long we've been killing.
I don't know.
Let's see.
There's got to be at least one more piece of news we can use, Kevin.
Yes, okay. There is one, and well, whatever. I guess there's kind of two.
Okay.
One is AJ becoming the new GM of Raw.
Yeah.
I mean, there would be lots of speculation going with this, but how do you see this one going forward?
I don't know. I'm so sick of, like, general managers and stuff like that I'm just sour to it right off the bat. You know what I mean? Like, just... I was just having a conversation with somebody about what I said on the air about Jack Tunney and how he was like this, he was great because he was unobtrusive, Unobtrusive?
Yeah, I think unobtrusive works.
Okay. So, and just didn't get in the way and made rulings and then beat it the fuck out of there. And AJ can fit into storylines just fine without being the general manager. They don't need a fucking general manager all the time. Just stop with this nonsense,
It's
a lazy crutch.
I'm just amazed again at the fact that they are really all in on a woman.
Yeah.
But similarly to Vicky Guerrero, it has nothing to do with her wrestling skills.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely has to do with her love for wrestling. I have a hard time believing she didn't, I just think that she kind of broke through because of, she sounded really into it when she was on NXT.
Absolutely. You could see the genuine enthusiasm from her and Caitlin. They really cared about wrestling. They obviously watched it and, you know, put in more effort than the rest of the people. So.
Yeah.
And had charisma, you know.
Yeah, they need to get your beloved Caitlin on TV a little more.
Well, absolutely. They need to get her to my house, dude. I don't know.
I can help her with it. That would be most excellent.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of, well, I mean, it could be interesting, but yeah, they just, they're so, like you said, they just use it as such a crutch and just for
right.
something to kill so much time.
They always have to have somebody as the general manager, and it's just stupid. She can do stuff without being the general manager. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, completely agree. Like, she doesn't need to be in that role.
Right. I honestly, no one does.
Well, yeah, no one of any significance.
One
on their roster, really.
Right, exactly. I mean, as the wrestlers do wrestling stuff, you know, the authority figure is there for some other reason. That's why Teddy Long is so good, you know? I haven't always gotten along with him, but let's face it, he's a lot better than these guys, you know, than the traveling circus on Raw.
Yeah, I mean, even if you don't like his the way he plays his part, I mean, he's usually in, out, and they don't make too big of a deal out of it until they've got to embarrass him, then they make, he seems to get more screen time, which... It's always one of those head scratchers.
Every now and then, Vince McMahon has to assure himself he has a huge penis by making fun of people. So, that's par for the course.
That was the one other topic. The man with the large penis on his chest and stomach that we didn't quite talk about. Brock Lesnar accepts the challenge of one Triple H. This could be our last piece of news that you can use. Did you feel like there was as little suspense as I did?
A little, yeah, absolutely. You know, speaking of Lesnar, somebody on a message board posted, why did they bring him back and pay him so much money if this is how they're going to use him? But really, from his perspective, he probably doesn't give a shit, you know? He has fuck you money. They're giving him fuck you money. He's proven he's a legitimate tough guy. He's just sort of, you know, on paid vacation now. You know?
Yeah, and I guess I thought I'd see him a little more consistently than this.
You think?
But a little more, not a lot. Like, I almost expected an Undertaker-like schedule where it's like...
You
know, maybe you see him for 6 months and you don't see him for the other six or something like that.
Exactly. But this is so sporadic. It's really bizarre what they're doing.
Yeah, because I'd rather it be, like, in chunks, where it's just, like, he goes on a feud for a couple of months, and then he checks out for a couple of months.
Right.
Rather than this weird, drawn-out thing that was just, like, come on, like, we know that you're going to accept the offer, like, and I guess that's the other thing that they may have been neutering Paul Heyman, but they were also, to me, just putting him in a shitty position.
Sure.
You know, it's just like, okay, you've got to play the part of, I'm not really going to accept, even though everybody and their mother knows that you're going to accept.
Yeah. Right. and no suspense. Like you said, the whole thing amounted to whatever, you know?
Yeah.
When it could have been a thing. It could have been something big, but it wasn't. Like Brock Lesnar's entire run so far. It could have been, but it isn't.
Yeah, and I mean, already guess that he gets back some of, that Lesnar gets back some of his heat by beating Triple H here. Does that help make up for, to me, still what is a big folly in letting him lose to John Cena to start with?
No, because the damage is already done. The first impression always means more, you know?
Yeah, and then you add that, what we were already talking about, that odd break afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and you're
so the
like,
first impression you get is he jobs to Cena. The second impression you get is absolutely nothing because he David Copperfield it. And so buried under all of that, he beats Triple H once. It's going to mean nothing.
Yeah, especially since the last time Triple H was on TV, he was losing to The Undertaker.
Right. That seems to be his job now. He'll just come in and lose every now and then.
Yeah.
Give him credit
for
that. He understands that random jobs mean nothing, you know?
Yeah.
But the Brock Lesnar loss wasn't a random job. That meant a lot. That cost him, again, that cost them money.
Yeah.
Significant money. Not a little bit of money like the Christian thing, but significant money. Because if they had built him up like the monster that he was, yeah. You know, I don't know what else to say. They fucked up. And I kind of know why they fucked up. They're probably still mad at him for leaving in his prime, but get over it.
Yeah, I mean, you hired him, again, for a lot of money.
Right.
So there's a lot of reasons to get over it. I mean, because was it supposed to be a 3-year deal? Was that what the...
I believe so.
Yeah, it's just like... Yeah, it's just like, if you're going to be working with him the next 3 years, why are you making it bad for him to start with?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, it's kind of like when they bought out WCW, but they had WCW lose all the time. You own them. You have no reason to make them look bad anymore. So, you can do whatever you want now. So why not make money?
Because money is evil or something.
Well, and part of it is they're making a certain amount of money, and they are a certain amount of successful. And they don't realize that the ceiling is higher than where they are. You know, they're just kind of lazy comfortable at where they are right now.
Yeah. I mean, and I think that goes back at least partially as something I say on a regular basis. Like, even though they're booking for kids, there's no reason that it can't be a better quality than what they're putting out there.
Amen. Because the early 90s stuff had much better booking, and it was still kiddie friendly. So it's possible.
Yeah, I mean, I got sucked in the 80s, early 90s, so, you know, that was just kind of, yeah. Reciting some of those days, too, was pretty funny. I mean, that's one picture that I want to embarrass myself with, is me and my brother dressed up as the Bushwhackers for
nice.
Halloween 1 year. And
excellent.
There's a picture of me licking his face.
All right. Excellent.
Oh, man.
Hey, I will go to my grave defending the Bushwhackers. They were fun.
Yeah, loved them, obviously, or else I wouldn't have
sure.
Dressed.
Right,
and, you know,
right, obviously.
Maybe I should give my mom. I'm going back to Altoona, the good Altoona, not the Iowa variety bad Altoona.
Yeah.
I'm going back to the good Altoona this weekend. Maybe I'll ask my mom to see if she can dig up that picture.
Well, that would be appreciated. I'd love to see it.
Oh, man. Well, is there anything else that I don't think we have any more news per se, but is there any other things niggling at Mr. Giebink's mind that could be here?
I could just chat all night, but nothing immediately comes to mind. I think we covered most of what's important, and we covered it in an adequate way that didn't make people want to kill themselves, so I think we came out ahead on this one.
Excellent. Well, then, it's just about my bedtime, so I'm going to go grab a sippy time beer, and I'm out of here.
All right. Well, for Kevin DeFrango, for tuna sandwiches, for sippy time, nighty nighttime beers, I'm Dusty Giebink, and this has been Stunt Granny Audio number 190, whatever the fuck, and we'll try to do better next time. Yeah.